While you're looking at those questions, I got a text message from Karen Rusk this morning that was a little bit of an update, so I'll just read the text. It says, this was the first thing this morning, Brad is on a plane to Boise to help his mom, and we learned last night in the emergency room that her mother, Karen's mother, ended up having a fractured spine. So Karen was on her way to Elk Grove this morning, and I assume Brad made it to Boise safely, but the end of her text says we could really appreciate some prayers. So the Rusk family, we want to keep in our prayers as they're both dealing with their parents. You guys need two or one? Two? Yes, you can work together. That's my last copy, so if someone else comes, we'll figure it out. You got about three more minutes. Again, if you weren't here on Sunday or not sure, Numbers 13, Numbers 14, I'm going to stay in the Daniel bubble or at least 12 feet away up here. Oh, Zach. Sorry. You can leave. I made 30 on Sunday and I had 11 extra. So tonight I made 20 and I don't have any. So we're playing the game of how many copies do we need. You're going to have to share with someone. Well, Bob's going to help us out. Thank you, Bob. I'll make 30 on Sunday. Maybe we can figure out something to do with the extras. Take the airplane contest or something. You need a pen. You guys probably don't know my paper airplane. I'll be interviewing a paper airplane contest. Never lost in 13 years of losing. The kids would take 6 hours making the perfect airplane, and it would go 2 feet. I would grab a clean piece of paper, crumple it into a ball, and huck it across the room, and tell them my plane was perfect. One more minute here. Seconds, wrap up whatever you may be writing. If you don't know the answer, that's okay. Hopefully, by the end of the week, we can get to that opportunity. I don't know that somebody's there. I don't know if there is one correct answer. Question number four. I didn't write anything down. So. All right, Mike Greenblatt's going to lead us in an opening prayer here as we get started.
Dear God, our Father, thank you again for this chance to be together as a family to study this place tonight. We're grateful for the opportunity that this provides us to learn more about it, the events in the Old Testament that teach us about trust and about how you led your people and shared your great promise with them and led them eventually into the promised land and fulfilled the promises that you had. We see this in this history, and we certainly know that it is what you provide for us as well. We remain faithful unto death and apply ourselves to this knowledge that you'll fulfill your promises to give us that eternal home in heaven one day as well. We're grateful for this knowledge and thankful for Tim and others that are here tonight to teach our children and just help us to uplift each other with this study. We're mindful of the Rusk family tonight and the challenges they're dealing with their family, and pray that we can send our prayers up to them here publicly and individually, personally, as we say our private prayers. Just continue to keep your hand protection upon this country, upon this church, upon the decisions that officials in places of authority are making, that they can make the most godly decisions possible. Help us to be influential, nonetheless, in our own lives and our own spheres of influence that give us this opportunity to teach others through our actions and our thoughts, our compassion. We're grateful for this. Continue to be with those that are unable to be with us, whether it be by fears of COVID or other matters. Help us all to be joined together again soon in your will. So prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mike. Okay, if you weren't here Sunday, we started a new class, Numbers. We did some introductory stuff on Sunday with the stuff that I thought we needed to look at. And then we're going to start right, it's not in the middle of the number, but in the story that's covered in Numbers, we kind of jumped right to the middle of the story. For a lot of reasons that we're going to talk about tonight, and then hopefully as we move forward through this class, we'll see some of the reasons why and some of those things. So, if you weren't here Sunday, or if you forgot to read Numbers 13, Numbers 14, I can fix that for you if you have a cell phone. This is on the bottom of the sheet that I gave you just now, so you don't have to quickly write it down if you don't want to. If you're at home, I'm going to leave it on the last slide so you can get it written down. Remind Me is just a little app that I can send things out to you that isn't mass reply, that you can reply back to each other and all those things. So if you take this number, you can go in and create an account. You don't need to create an account. If you just text this number and you text at numbers Q21, Queenway 21, whatever, it doesn't have to be in caps. The fonts I'm using in caps, it can be lowercase. But if you text 81010 and the text message says at numbers Q21, I'm going to start sending out reminders. So like on Thursday night, Friday night, I'll just sit out and say, hey, we're supposed to have such and such read, or what do you guys think about this question? This is what we're going to talk about, things like that. Just an easy way for me to send things out to you to communicate without a huge group text that everybody can reply to and emails. If you don't have a text message and you're curious in getting updates, you can set it up by email. You have to do it by the computer. That's not that difficult either. This is not make or break whether you survive the class, right? It's just for me to help you remember, because I know if you can remember half the things I can forget, you're doing a lot better than I can. So if you're interested, it's on the bottom of the sheet that handed you guys. Again, it's not really a communication tool. It's just kind of an announcement tool that I can send announcements to you guys. All right, any questions on that? All right, there's a couple observations that I want to look at that we didn't quite get to on Sunday. So we're just going to run through these and see what happens. So Numbers covers almost 30 years. We talked about that, right? There's 40 total years of wandering, but that includes once they left Egypt to when they entered. So Numbers is 39 years. This is the breakdown of the timing. Chapters 1 through 10 happen very quickly. Chapters 1 through 10 are about 21 days in time when we're looking at Numbers, which is interesting because that pretty much leads, we're a couple chapters away, but that pretty much leads into the spying out that we guys read about over the last couple days. So we're 21 days removed from that. After that, chapters 10 through 33 covers 38 years, which essentially is the wandering. So again, it's passage of time is interesting in the Bible because we just read it like, oh, this is one day, and this is a day, and this is a day, and this is a day. But the 38, we talked about on Sunday, the 38 years, what had to happen in that 38 years? What was the break? Yeah, the older generation had to die off. And we're going to get into that a lot. And then it ends, it jumps into Deuteronomy a little bit, but the last portion, when they're preparing to enter, is only 6 months. So it's interesting how that timetable works, okay? I asked the question, the first question was on your sheet. It said, how long after the people of Israel leave Egypt, just the book of, we talked about this on Sunday, how long?
3 years.
That's a little big.
2 years.
It was a year. It was really like 13 months, but because we round, it's a year. We can look into that. But if you look at the very, if Numbers chapter 1, Numbers chapter 1, not chapter 1. Somewhere in there it says the second year of the first month. Which one is it? Oh, it is Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the tent of meeting of the first day of the second month in the second year. So we're 1 month into the second year, being when they left Egypt. So 13 months a year, either way. Significance of that? Why is that significant? Any thoughts? Is that a long time? It probably depends on how old you are. Hannah thinks that's an eternity. But those of us who are a little bit older, man, a year happens quick. John?
When you leave a place that you've been for quite some time and go to a new place, a year seems like an awful long time to be away from that place.
That's fair. And they didn't have the comforts of Egypt, so it probably seemed like a lot longer than a year. But what happened when they left Egypt? Did they just walk out of town? Major things happened. So yes, a year seems like a long time, but it really shouldn't have been. And they haven't been sitting idly for that year either, right? Moses has been on Mount Sinai, all those things, all the things that you guys covered in Leviticus, we're getting covered. And I am not an Israelite apologist. They should have known better going into all of this. They really should have. John?
Well, during that year that they left, all they did was complain in the first place about everything.
Yeah, it's true. I agree. And we're going to look into a lot of that. Right?
But, you know, if they set up camp and hold numbers of times, just to set up, break down, lots of things like that, too.
The next point is a small point, but I have a coworker who sometimes we talk about godly things, and I at class today, when I have a break, I'm sitting and studying because that's the way things go. And she was quizzing me a little bit, and we were talking about this story, and I was reflecting upon it. How many events in history have happened because of this right here? How many deaths have there been? Because God promised the Holy Land. And the people literally went in, and we know the story, you know, Ishmael and Aslam and all that stuff, and it's just, it's interesting to me. It's also interesting to me, this statement right here. Read that statement. I'm not going to read it. You read it to yourself. What do you guys take from that? You tell me. Any thoughts?
God's plan.
Okay. I like that. What was God's plan? Let me ask that this way. We talked about this on Sunday a little bit too. Was God's plan for the spies to go in and come out and the children of Israel not to trust him? That was not God's plan. God's plan was somewhat 11 days or so. They leave Mount Sinai, wherever that may have been. They enter into Canaan and they take it over. How do we know that was God's plan? Not looking for a specific answer there, just in general. How do we know? Did the children of Israel eventually enter into Canaan? Yes. Then we should know that was God's plan. And we know we can read about it with Abraham and everything there. But just by natural looking, we should understand God's plan was for his people, the children of Israel, to enter into Canaan. Just like today, what is God's plan for us? To enter into the promised land, heaven. And we can make that journey easy, or we can make that journey hard. But I also like this. I made this connection today, and I know Daniel likes to stretch and make connections, and we're going to do some of that. But we talked about on Sunday, the older generation wanted to be back in Egypt for whatever reason. They didn't want to be in the wilderness. They had what they needed. They were taken care of, right? Was the younger generation going to have that reference point from the time that they spent in Egypt? They weren't. In a sense, God is cleansing the children of Israel of the older generation so that the newer generation can take over. That's important. How much did you guys read about in Leviticus about cleansing? I'm sure a lot, and talked about it a lot, I'm sure. And we're going to deal with it in Numbers, too, with the Passover and things like that. Cleansing is so important and essential to God. And again, and today, we have the opportunity to cleanse ourselves. Cleansing is not something that's new. I think it's important. Thoughts?
It wouldn't be a stretch, obviously, to take your last statement there and say that that's an analogy to life. I mean, clearly, God had a plan, and he has a plan for us too, but we journey through life, and it's the decisions we make every day about it. You know, it doesn't seem like sometimes it should be as difficult as we make it, but the fact of the matter is that we make mistakes and we learn things, and, you know, this concept of refocusing and cleansing, you know, to reach the promised land is definitely, you know, very, very close to us in the path that we walk every day and just in life.
And as part of the reason I wanted to start with 13 and 14, because we're going to jump back and pick up the first part of Numbers and see how God's basically preparing the people to enter. Well, those people don't enter. He basically starts over and prepares those people to enter. And I think it's fascinating to me. And I also know, as I continue to restudy this book, man, it's so easy to go, oh, the children of Israel, they should have known better. How dare they? I wouldn't have been that person. We're going to look at Caleb tonight. Man, I couldn't be Caleb, I don't think. I don't know. It would take, that's courage. John?
The reason for God had that first number, if we call it the first one, is so he knew the strength of the armies and how much they were going to need to take over.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. We talked about some of that on Sunday. Sometimes I think, who do you think the numbering was for? Was it for God? Most likely, probably for the people to understand. Patty brought up on Sunday, they entered into Israel 400 years ago with 70 people. And now they're 600 strong, at least by men of war. And because, again, fast forward to Jericho, did it matter how many people there really were? God was going to take care of it. So I think I can't get away from the thought that, man, I think that numbering in the end was for the people, for them to understand who they were and how mighty they were. Yeah. Okay, next question on your sheet. This is a random question that I found interesting. Anybody want to throw a number out there? There's not, sorry. I'll make 30 again on Sunday and not run out. I apologize. Who's got a guess? Anybody got a guess? This, what'd you circle?
What's that?
Question number two on the sheet, the warm-up sheet. Did you answer question number two? What did you circle?
I circled 40.
Not 40. Not 60.
80. 100.
More than 80 times in the book of Numbers, it says the Lord spoke to. Can you imagine? That's a lot. The only reason I put this on there is because when I read that, I was like, really? That's a lot.
Well, it's only twice a year.
Ooh, that's fair. I didn't really know that. I'd have to see how many are in chapters 1 through 10.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I know. That's funny. But even if the Lord spoke to Moses and the people knew about it twice a year, how many times has he spoke to us in the way that he spoke to Moses? Zero. So even if it was twice a year, why is that important? Any thoughts? I think that is huge.
Well, it's the same thing we talked about in Leviticus, which is that God's you know, creating a people for himself, for his purpose.
Okay.
And it's all part of his plan that, you know, they're going to teach him their laws, he's going to teach him about holiness, he's going to teach him about, you know, his nature. So he's absolutely going to, you know, want, you think, to speak to his people, to impart that knowledge to them as best he can.
Good. I think that's good. Any other thoughts?
Yeah.
Pat.
So, in the beginning, God spoke to the heads of households. the patriarchs. But once Moses came on the scene and was given the written law, that method of information, of transferring information has changed. And now it's coming through Moses. He is the head, he's the one after whom the law is called, the law of Moses. And so God is establishing in the people's minds that this is the leader. What he says, you need to listen to.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We're going to read as we go through this. The Lord spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to the people. The Lord spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to the people. When the people had a problem, who did they go to?
Moses.
Yeah, they went to Moses and said, Moses, you have brought us out into the desert. And I think it's interesting. Any other thoughts? John, you can handle.
That's what I was about to say. He had the authority because God speaks to him. And the people knew that God spoke. And Moses, they didn't talk to Aaron. Didn't show any place where he had. Or any of the other folks.
How about familiarity? Do you think God was someone that was familiar to the children of Israel? If God spoke to Moses 80 times, then we have recorded, by the way. I'm sure the number is much higher.
That's at least twice a year.
But that's, yeah, it's probably more like 4 times. No. But when the children of Israel are in the wilderness, God was not an unfamiliar thing to them, not an unfamiliar creator. They complained and he fixed it. Right.
Well, and he was visible.
Yes.
He had the cloud by day.
I agree.
And the cloud of fire by night. So the Spirit was always there with them.
But that doesn't mean that they understood it.
I agree.
And that's the thing about the older generation having to die off. That's the thing about manna.
Mm-hmm.
Why is manna in the Ark of the Covenant? Because it's what sustained them. And they needed to learn to rely on God, and they didn't. And so even though he showed them all the power of the plagues in Egypt and part of the Red Sea, they did not know him as he's trying to reveal himself in these ways as the story continues.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that's a good point. And we use that New Testament with Jesus, right? Even the disciples knew who Jesus, but when Jesus is saying the things he's saying as he's leading up to his crucifixion, they don't really understand and wrap around, even though they knew who Jesus was. Was that an excuse, though? It's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. Okay. Because of the rebellion at Kadesh Barnea, in accepting the report of the 12 spies while rejecting the reports of Joshua and Caleb, the generation of the Exodus would not be the generation of the conquest. So the older generation exited Egypt. They could have also, 11 days after leaving Mount Sinai, been the generation of conquest in the ancient land. They were not. I read something interesting today that I hadn't tied together. Barnea or Kadesh. Kadesh, what also happened at Kadesh? This is random memory that we haven't read numbers in a while. I think it was Kadesh. Now I might misremember. Just random fact, Numbers chapter 20. Oh, now I'm not going to be able to find it. Mirabah, but Kadesh is where Moses struck the rock, if I'm right. Random fact, I'm going to have to relook at it, double check. But I think it happened at least near or around the same place that those two things happened. I'll relook that up. In chapter 1 or chapter 20, verse 1, it says the people stayed in Kadesh. And then right after that, you have Mirabah and the water. And it's interesting that again, names and things like that, you know, we got to be a little bit careful of because it's just interesting to me that it was there. So random fact, anyways. Okay, let's keep going. I put these on here. You want to check real quick? See if anybody got 100%. What was the first one? You should know the first one. First one was, speaks to Moses and sends the spies. That was a giveaway. Yeah? Second one?
Spies return.
I agree. Spies return. Third one.
Maybe the guys just leave now.
Yeah. Which tricked me that when I started studying this for the young adult class, I had in my head that the 10 spies reported, the people said, we can't go in there, the people are too big, we're going to get destroyed. But actually, if you read it, the report's given, and Caleb immediately says, let's go. I had forgotten that. Maybe you didn't. And then, after Caleb says, let's go, that's when the other spies speak out and say they're too big. We can't take care of it. That's in, someone give me a verse. It's verse 30 of chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 says, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well and able to overcome it. Verse 31. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Do you think that's the first time that those men and Caleb and Joshua probably also had that conversation? I know what ifs. They journeyed into the promised land, and they came back to give the report. Do you think they had already talked about how they felt? Like, to me, maybe Caleb, and I don't want to stretch too far, but maybe Caleb had already predetermined, hey, as soon as they report the land, I know that the other 10 are going to be like, we can't do it. I'm going to jump in there and say, we can do it, and we're going to go. I have to believe that they had that conversation before. Maybe not how the conversation was going to go in front of the congregation, but I just think it's interesting to think about that Caleb, at the first opportunity he had, it's almost like he's like, wait a minute, let's go right now. With God's help, we can take care of it. John.
The 10 reported to Moses and the congregation. So the people heard them speak out that they can't possess the land. Then Caleb comes out and says, well, we can possess it. Joshua.
In 25 to 29, does it say we can't possess it? All it says, and again, I think this is interesting. Anybody want to read that real quick? That's not me. 25 to 29. Zach, would you mind reading that?
When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to, are we in the right chapter?
Yeah.
Okay. They proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan.
So, can we take that to mean that those are starting to say, we can't do it, maybe? To me, they're just giving a report, though.
That's right.
The original part, I think, is just report. They're supposed to go on the land, they're supposed to give the facts. To me, and I hope I'm not stretching too far here, they give the facts. And then Caleb's like, nope, let's go. It's almost like that when you're a kid and you're like talking about the bully and all your friends are talking. And you're like, all right, let's go get him. And you start running. And you look back and you're like, I thought we were going. So I wouldn't argue, but I think that first part to me is a report. And then in verse 31, the men who have gone up said, we are not able to go against
well, people. It's just in the congregation.
Yeah, that's an interesting statement.
He was sent out by Moses. They were sent out by Moses. They gave the report to Moses. That's the proper procedure. And the congregation got the secondary speech.
Yeah, I don't know. It says Moses and the congregation. And if we, when we look through Numbers, a lot of times the congregation is the people gathered together. So I wouldn't argue. I don't know that there's two reports there. I think to me, it probably doesn't matter either way. We're going to get more into Caleb, though. The point is, Caleb's like, let's go. And the rest are like, I don't know. Okay, next one. What was the next one?
The people rebel?
Yeah, the people rebel. And again, this is interesting, too. Time is quickly escaping. But I think we're going to spend Sunday in chapters 13 and 14 as well. I don't want to rush through 13 and 14. So I... That sounds like a young blood baby.
What do you know?
Yeah, there's out there somewhere. I completely lost my train of thought.
You unmute us? Hold on.
Completely my fault. Sunday, we're probably going to be at least finishing up 13 to 14. So, anyways, the people rebel, and the first reaction, and we're going to talk about this more as we go through, is to go back to Egypt. Moses intercedes for the people was the next one. We're going to get more into that, so we don't need to dwell on that in a second. But Moses intercedes for the people. And then number seven was the people admit they have sinned and attempt to possess the land. We talked about this in the singing a couple weeks ago. What happens when they try to go possess the land?
Done. Got pushed back.
Yep. Okay. Numbers 13, 1 through 5. Maybe. We'll see how quickly we can run through this stuff. Okay, God speaks to Moses and tells him to send out men so that the promised land might be here. Right? Turn to 13, 17 through 20. And if there's a volunteer that would read 13, 17 to 20, that would be very much appreciated. Go ahead, Sarah.
13, 17, 20. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. And see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes.
Again, we have recorded what we have recorded. Right? So just because it's not recorded doesn't mean it didn't happen. Chapter 13, verse 2. The Lord speaking to Moses, send the men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. Anywhere there does it say the things that Moses says? It doesn't. It's interesting to me, whether we have it recorded or not, I can't answer that. But Moses seems to have the liberty to tell the men what to look for when they're up there. I don't know. Is that a stretch, or can we agree to that? At least it's not recorded. Maybe.
Yeah, you don't know what all God said to Moses either.
We don't.
It's only recorded here, a part of it, perhaps.
I agree. Kevin.
So this question on number one, my question is, was it the people that went to Moses first, and because God had told them what the land was like, and they went to Moses and thought they should spy out the land, but then in Numbers 13:1, it clearly says that God told them to go. So I thought it was the people first who went to spy out the land, and then God agreed. Numbers 13:1. But yeah, Deuteronomy 1:19-25 is where it says the people thought that they should go to spy out the land.
Oh, that's the second one, though. Deuteronomy would be the second generation.
The second generation?
Yeah,
okay.
After the wandering, okay. After the younger generation. So I think you're correct. But that's the newer, younger generation that's going to spy out the land, not the older generation that in chapter 13 God commanded them to do. Which, man, we're not doing it wrong, but I hadn't even thought about that. Did the people go on their own? Where would they have gotten that idea? obviously there was enough old enough that knew what happened the first time. I don't know. I haven't read that in a while. That's a good point.
Yes. 122.
Deuteronomy 122.
Yes.
Deuteronomy.
Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we should take.
Yeah.
And the towns we will come in.
Yeah, it seems like they're doing it on their own. But again, where would they have learned that from the first spy now?
Isn't this Moses talking to the people in Deuteronomy 1 and giving them a history? Am I understood in that? Because these are the words that Moses spoke to, this is 1:1. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness. So isn't he giving them their history? So could he be referring to that first entrance?
That's fair too. It could just be a retelling of it. That's fair. I'm answering on the cusp, so by no means take what I am saying to be true.
This is all Moses speaking.
Yeah, then we sat. I said to you, see the Lord your God. Yeah, it seems like it. Okay, homework. Y'all have homework.
Okay.
It seems like it is what Sarah's describing.
Continue reading down.
Yeah. I don't know. That's Deuteronomy. Where are numbers?
It's a repeat.
It seems like it. I don't know. You have homework. I'm not going to answer that question on Sunday. You guys are going to answer that question. It seems like it is a retelling. That's why you won't answer questions on the cusp. But good. Or Daniel can deal with it when he does Deuteronomy. Right? Isn't that if a good teacher pawns off the question to the next teacher?
Just to hint into this, later in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 36. Well, 35, not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh.
Good.
He shall see it, and to him and to his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed the Lord wholly. And I'm sure you can read more, but yeah, this is just a retelling. And it's even though in verse 22 it says the men, well, in Numbers, they're called spies.
Right.
So that there's no conflict between them.
Right. And in Numbers, we have that the Lord spoke to Moses, and this is just a retelling. So Sarah was correct, and Zach will go into war with you, Sarah. So does that help, Kathy? Helps me, because I was answering on the fly and got it wrong. So. Good. Okay. Whether God told Moses or not, or Moses took it upon himself to say, you need to look at this and look at this and look at this. Don't we have similar responsibilities to seek out the important things in life from God's word? I think we do. Obviously, there were some things that the spies needed to look at. Moses communicated that. The spies return and report to Moses in the congregation. We talked about a lot of this. The original report doesn't include that they should not enter. We talked about that, so we're going to walk through here. Caleb advises they leave now and possess the land. A lot of this we talked about. The other spies speak and say they cannot possess the land. Is there a better way to highlight our theme than chapter 13, verse 30? When Caleb says, but Caleb quieted the people. I know we haven't read the first part of Numbers, and I know we haven't looked at the second part of Numbers. The people complain a lot. And all the people ever want is to go back to Egypt. That's what they want, because they stub their toe, and it's unfair that they're there. So can you imagine when the spies go into the land, and the spies come out, and they give a report, and whether the report is, hey, we can't do it or not, or it comes just a second or two later, if you're in that audience, and we're going to read about God's set of leaders, the leaders who did what they needed to do, and it's really the leaders that are the problem. The spies come out and say, yeah, it's great. The people are big. How would a congregation of people react to that?
Well, you know, the first thing that crosses my mind is that
they're probably not too encouraged about where they are in the first place. So there's probably a whole lot of discussion amongst them that says, well, I didn't hear anything other than the people were big. So that's already determines my predetermined position, and I'm not going to like this. So, you know, they didn't seem to have a whole lot of confidence going in, which is, like you said, pretty amazing considering the things they've seen to this point, especially those that came out of Egypt, which they all did. So, I mean, if you're predetermined to not like something, you're going to find the smallest thing possible to make sure that it reinforces your predisposed position.
That last sentence, say that last sentence again. The
predisposed, establish your predisposed position.
Right. And it even just takes the smallest thing, but we run with the pattern.
Well, they probably were predisposed to think the worst because look where they were. Kadesh Barnea is right smack in the middle of the desert, hot, very few trees, you know, maybe a lizard or two to supplement the manna. I mean, it was drudgery. And so now they're going to be sent for 40 days by themselves. And in their mind, they know it was called the land of milk and honey, but their expectations are probably not there until they get there. And then they're pretty shocked, I'm sure.
So what's that mean for us? Hold on. What's that mean for us? How many of you have been to heaven? No one? You mean heaven's out there?
Yes.
I think both of those are great points. I think they're great points. Because we're not any different. We're not any different. In a spiritual sense, sure. But we're not any different. Heaven is something that has been promised to us. But we are a human mentality that we have to feel and touch things most of the time. And if we can't feel and touch it, it doesn't hold the same weight. John?
Well, these people are, 13 months out of Egypt?
They well, 13 months and 26 days now.
Okay, they walked through the Red Sea. All the Egyptians took a little bath and couldn't follow them. Just 13 months, and they want to go back to that.
Well, don't we want to go back to the familiar areas?
You know, you get king mad at you and kill half his people, his army. Why not going to welcome you back with open arms?
Why do we make the same mistakes and sins?
Just pain and discomfort is hard to endure. It's difficult. I mean, we have to have a little compassion on the fact that, like Patty said, they're in a miserable state. So, I mean, that doesn't necessarily make them up. Hopefully, we can have some compassion on. They probably were struggling with just everything.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But I continue to say, we didn't get to chapter 14. I guess we're going to cover chapter 14 on Sunday. So if you didn't get a chance to read chapter 14, read it. If you did read it again. I had other homework, but we'll hold that off for Sunday. But was all of that an excuse when God put his judgment upon me? It was not. So I'm going to end. We'll get all of this stuff on Sunday. But I'm always going to end with this question, and we won't answer it tonight. I lost tonight. What is it real about God? I lost my clicker. What is it real about God? You can think about it. Okay, it reveals God. And we're not going to talk that much in numbers about the word loving kindness. But on Sunday, we're going to get into loving kindness, I think, a little bit. And the fact that even though we're talking about Moses and what Moses did as a result of this, God's loving kindness still allowed the children of Israel to enter into the promised land. It just wasn't the ones that faced the consequences for what they were. We're out of time. Numbers chapter 14 on Sunday, and I may send one or two more things out. I put the at the bottom here. Oh, don't. I didn't realize this said all this. If you want to be like not Tim and someone else who likes to work ahead, this will be the assignment for Sunday. whether we get to it on Sunday or not. If we don't get to it in class, I'll probably give it to you for homework. If we get to it in class, we'll just cover it in homework in class. But definitely, I'm not done with Numbers chapter 14. And at the bottom, to 81010 at Numbers 21.